Hey, everybody. So what's today's adventure? Well, we are going to turn off the heater blowing right in my face and in your ears. And we're going to the airport to pick up Poon Master Flex. Because she has a job interview. Now, here's an interesting tale. Not really interesting from my part, but from hers. So Portland, Oregon is having a huge storm. Portland, Oregon is having what we might call a winter. A snow gate. Because gate is what we put on the end of something that's very bad. Right? Gamergate. Snowgate. I never understood that. I mean, I guess most people don't. I never understood it because it doesn't make sense. Like, Watergate was not a water thing that happened related to a gate. It was a thing related to a thing called Watergate. That was like the full name. The hotel? Whatever? I think that's a hotel where it happened. Something. Anyway, point being, there was that. Then there was, or was that, what was the one with the Clintons? There was also a gate there. That I think that one was not a gate. Gamergate? Gamergate, which I don't really understand and have completely given up on. Because it's like, it seems like it started because someone supposedly was talking about journalistic integrity in video gaming. Which I was a little like, I don't know how much I care about journalistic integrity in video gaming. I gotta be honest. I mean, a little. If you want journalistic integrity, read Digitally Stimulated by Peter and Ian Dirk. Available on Amazon for your Kindle or Kindle apps, which you can load on an iPad, which is probably one of iTunes' dumbest things that they allow. But whatever. I mean, the watchdogs of the journalistic integrity of video gaming, that gets so micro. And to say like, oh yeah, well, they gave a good review to this video game that's really not that good. I mean, like, welcome to the world of reviewing everything ever made, because basically that kind of thing is inescapably subjective. The end. Like, what's to say about that? That seems so stupid to me. Anyway, Gamergate. They're having a snowgate. Snowpocalypse? Snowmageddon? I think they had a thing they were calling Snowpocalypse before. Maybe last year or 2 years ago. And they're having another one. Now, some of what I've heard is that part of the problem in Portland, Oregon is that they are not... I was like, what is this whining sound? And this idiot in a like Jeep Wrangler or a Cherokee has like a supercharger on his Jeep. Seems necessary. They had this a couple years ago, and I guess in Portland, they're not like super prepared for snow. They're not like real into snow. And so when the snow comes, they don't necessarily have plows and salt and all that shit. I guess they're having it in Seattle, too, and they're like, fuck it. I mean, you do have to wonder. I can hear this car, and it's, like, making me nervous it's my car. But I don't think it is. It's definitely not. This Jeep has something wrong with it, so it's like, when it's stopped, and then it starts. It's when it's idling. Anyway. I know this is fascinating. My fascinating tale. I imagine telling this later. Oh, for a little while I was next to this Jeep and it was making this noise. And then when it would start going, it stopped making the noise. What a dumb car, huh? What a story. What a story. Anyway. So yeah, they're not super prepared, and I guess things get real fucking shitty. They had a snowpocalypse in Chicago this year, too, and, like, just fucking freezing temperatures, too. But I guess, you know, they're kind of prepared. If you're the mayor of Chicago, you're like, I mean, we got to put some money into keeping these fucking trains running. And we should expect the ice and the snow. And I guess in Portland, they're like, eh. I do wonder, though, I, like, all right, where I live, Most people think of Colorado as like being like Aspen or something. And a lot of the state is not like that. We don't get a ton of snow. And so, and when we do get snow, I mean, the sun comes out in the next couple days and the snow is gone. So I do wonder sometimes if it's like, what would be a greater loss in terms of commerce? The things we have for winter weather mitigation, such as plows and icing or salting and stuff like that? Or should we just fucking be like, hey, when it snows, let's just take the day off, huh? Huh, guys? It's funny, too, because I have to say, so I've worked many a crappy job in my life. And now I work a nicer job. And one sure sign of your job being a nicer job is how likely it is you'll close during snow. So, like, okay, take out things like schools and shit like that, right? But, like, if you just work in an office, you might just close. If you work at whatever, you might just close. I mean, I'm sure, like, a dentist's office, they probably try to not close. But at the same time, it's like, fuck it. They'll probably close. But if you work at Walmart, if you work at the grocery store, you ain't closing for shit. Because those people know, like, hey, this is when everyone goes apeshit buying fucking bottled water. So we might as well go crazy and just be completely open and let people commerce their way through the storm. That's just a little something for you. Maybe it's not like a sure sign of a crappy or a not crappy job. It's just something that I would like to think. I would like to think if I ran some kind of place that I would be like, you know, here's how I'm going to make the decision. If the school's closed, we're fucking closed. That's all you need to know. Because if the schools are like, no, it's fine. Our most precious cargo is fine. Then, yeah, we can probably go to work that day. But if the school is closed, then we're like, yeah, fuck it. Like, that's kind of the decision there is sort of like, you know, it's not worth getting in a day of school. It's a little bit too dangerous and whatever. Because frankly, it's like, yeah, if I ran a business, I don't even know what it would be, like a fucking comic book store. If I ran a comic book store, I would feel real shitty if someone died on their way into work or even totaled their car on the way into work. Because I'd be like, was it worth it? Was it worth totaling a car? I doubt that the daily income of a comic book store is worth totaling a car. I saw a thing online that some person owned a comic book store and was like raffling it off for free. Or I don't know if that's a raffle, whatever. But you could basically be a comic book store owner. I thought about it. I was like, well, all right. This can't be a money-making endeavor at all, because if it was, they wouldn't just be giving it away for free, right? If they were, like, making a dime off of this place, they would not be giving it away for free. So it must be losing money. I don't know what stock you get. I don't know, like, and by stock, I mean old comics. I assume this is not like a Disney venture where I'm like, what are my stock options for this comic book store? So mostly I was thinking about it in terms of like, well, maybe that would provide for an interesting failure through life. Maybe I would go the next 2 years doing that and learn what I could learn from it and then move on. But I don't think I'm that kind of man. Maybe. Or maybe I once was, but I don't think I am at this point. Because, like, what am I going to do? I'm going to get there. How am I going to drum up business? What am I going to do with all this old stock? I'd probably spend most of my time putting anything of value on eBay. And that's the other thing is I'm like, I don't know, man. I feel like whoever owns this shop is probably going to be, like, selling off most of what they can to eBay, right? To just, like, get out of debt. Because if you could possibly sell the business for anything, the only possibility, and I'm putting this as a very outside possibility, is that this person is selling a comic book store that's like beloved in the community and they've had it in the family for a long time, but they don't have anyone to pass it on to. So they want to pass it on to somebody who's going to keep the comic book store running in the community. Sort of like if it was like the toy store from Home Alone 2, where it's like, oh, it's the most fucking amazing toy store. Even though it seems to be selling toys from, like, the 1940s. Not a lot of new action toys and shit in there. Run by a kindly old man. I feel like that's not just the thing for Home Alone. I feel like there's, like, 50 things that do that kind of stuff. Often it seems like a Santa-related endeavor. I don't know why. But yeah, it's a... So I thought about it. I briefly thought about it and was like, Peter, that would be a terrible decision. I think that would be something you would regret. I don't know. Maybe not. If I had a t-shirt, or if I had a tattoo that said no regrets, and a t-shirt that said no fear, basically if I clad myself, is that a word you can use? If I made myself up in such a way to talk about the things that I do not have, including fear and regrets, maybe I'd be more of the let's do it, let's own a comic book store person. I mean, there's also Poonmaster Flex to think about here. I don't know that she would be like... I don't think that would excite her as a business venture. So that's something to consider. She'd probably have to get some other kind of job and then support us both. Speaking of that, so I'm moving to a new apartment. This is in anticipation of Poonmaster Flex's return to Colorado, and it seems like she's got some pretty good irons in the fire. She hates when I use that phrase, so I'm using it here, and I guess we'll see if she emails and is like, hey, I heard what you said about irons in the fire, goddammit. So it seems kind of inevitable. And I saw a place come up on Craigslist that I was like, yeah, this looks pretty good. So I went for it. It's a condo. It's rented by a guy and his wife as opposed to a company, which I think has its pluses and minuses. I think the plus is that you don't have, like, some horrible company trying to screw you over and, like, keep your deposit. And, like, basically, every review you see of a rental company is horrible. And every person who reviews a rental company is like, they screwed me out of my deposit or blah, blah, blah. Or sometimes I see ones, I don't know what to think. Because you'll see one, too, that's like, they kept my deposit for 6 weeks before they returned it to me. And I was like, I mean, I don't think that's beyond standard practice. I think that's pretty well within the standard practice of deposit return. I kind of have a policy when I move into an apartment, which is like, just consider the deposit gone. Just think about it as money you're spending to move into the apartment. And then if you get some back, you can be like, that's fucking awesome. And that way, if you don't, you're like, well, whatever, I wasn't counting on it anyway. I'll tell you this, though, like, apartment living is definitely one of the ways that, like, the rich stay rich and the poor stay poor. Because I'll say this, so the folks who are renting it to us seem very nice. And they own a couple condos in this, development. And he was telling me about the other one they have, and his wife was too, because they think the one that we're moving into is nicer. Because there's things like, well, the other one has the laundry down basically in the basement, like attached to the garage, where this one, it's upstairs by the bedroom, so that's way more convenient. Which I'm kind of like, I mean, I'm used to going up and down. To me, being in a place where, let's see, a load of laundry cost me $2.50 in quarters, and a trip up and down the stairs, I had to go upstairs to put it in, then back down, then up to change it, then back down, then up, and then back down. So this is definitely an upgrade for me. I've never lived in a place that has fucking laundry. So these things were not concerning. I was like, oh yeah, I suppose that is nicer, but at the same time, I'm sort of like, do I care? But It's like the rich get richer because, so these are fairly affordable condos. And what I mean by that is maybe new, it looks like they cost between $220 and $250, let's say. And so, but that's like around here, that's a pretty good price for like a two bed, two bath condo. That's like a decent price. And, you know, they're fairly new and they're fairly good shape and all that shit. But the problem, and Poonmaster Flex pointed this out to me, and so the part of the problem, though, is that folks like our new landlord buy a couple of these and rent them out. But then what that does is it takes off the market places that people could buy that are fairly inexpensive. And then they make a little bit of cash by renting it out, plus they pay for the property. So, you know, what we're paying every month is probably 1.5 times the mortgage, at least. And so they can pay off the property, make a little profit as they're paying off a property, which I'm like, that is kind of fucked up. And my second thought was like, I wish I was doing that. That would be kind of cool. Like if we could afford two mortgages, I'd be like, I think that what we should do is buy a second condo. Or if we paid off a mortgage in 15 years and didn't look like we were going anywhere, I'd be like, I think we should just buy another condo, pay off that mortgage, and rent it out or something, because I think that'll pay us off in the end. But it sort of sucks. And then it sucks because I have to pay a lease break fee at my new place. And so you gotta pay the lease break fee. You gotta pay the new deposit. You gotta pay the first whatever month's rent. I'll have to start paying for internet now. I haven't paid for internet for several years, and that's been pretty nice. One of the nice things about my current place, I'm sad to leave, is that all the utilities and internet are included. So you know for the year what you're paying for everything. I mean, you could go down to the dime. So that bums me out a little bit, to be perfectly honest. However, there's a lot of upsides, but moving fucking sucks. Like, moving is one of the worst things. And it looks like I'm gonna hire people to move my shit for me, which I've never done before. But I'll tell you why I did it. There are a couple reasons. One, it was, it's expensive, but not as expensive as I thought it would be. So that's something. Number two, I feel like we're getting to an age now where having your friends come help you move is like a pain in the ass. And like, I'm totally willing to help friends move. Don't get me wrong. And have done so a couple times in the last year. And I've missed a couple moves from my good friends, and I felt bad about that. However, I think I wish if one of my friends was like, okay, we're moving. We would like to hire a company, but we'd like to have our friends do it. We're not really sure which. How would you feel about kicking in $50 to $100 to quote unquote help me move? So instead of carrying a couch, instead of coming to our place, carrying a couch, carrying it up the stairs, all that shit, you can just pay some money and some people will help us move, and then, you know, we'll go have a beer that night. I'd be like, fuck yeah. That sounds great. I'm totally in. And so I kind of thought about it that way. But I think I also just started thinking about it like, what is money for? And sometimes I think money is for like, well, it's for comfort. And by comfort, I mean like, hey, I feel like if something happens in my life that's not a catastrophe, but mildly bad, I'm not completely screwed. Like, my life isn't over because of this. I can get myself out of a scrape of some kind. I think the next, if you're talking about the money's low hierarchy of needs, the next thing up is kind of like, well, money is a little bit for, you can trade money for other things that you want. For example, like, library services are less popular right now and have been going down the last several years because the economy is pretty good. And when that happens, what people do is they spend money in order to get time. And so instead of coming to the library to check out a book, or instead of checking at the library first to see if we have an ebook, they'll just buy it on Amazon. And I don't blame them. I've done it too. We've all done it. Everyone has paid for something that they could have gotten for free or could have done without. And especially when the economy is good, we all do that kind of shit, right? But, so when the economy is good, you use it to buy time is a good example. You can also use it to buy things like, hey, if I really hate doing something, I can pay someone to do it. So I think money is kind of for that too. Like, hey, if what you really fucking hate is doing the laundry, maybe you should pay someone to do your laundry. I know that seems very, like, weird to say, or like, it sounds so hoity-toity. But I think the thing is, if you, like, look into people's lives and really pay attention, you'll find out that they're spending money in ways that you're like, well, hold on, you're telling me not to do this, but you're doing this. And it's like, you can easily look at someone's life and be like, yeah, it costs you way more to do laundry by sending it out than it does to just fucking do it yourself. But on the other hand, if you're somebody like me where I'm like, I don't have a wardrobe where if a shirt goes missing, I'm like, fuck. I don't wear a lot of suits. I don't wear a lot of super professional shit. I don't have a lot of stain fighting that needs to be done. I just need like socks, underwear, and jeans to get through the week. And so if that saved me a ton of time, it might be worth it. And there was a time in my life where it did save me a ton of time, because it's like, well, I can't do laundry. Like, going to the laundromat, that saves you a ton of time if you drop it off or whatever. And I've never gotten there. I've never gotten quite that far because it looks just a little too expensive for me. And I kind of always get to this point where I'm like, you know what you should do? Instead of paying to have your laundry done, just buy more socks, underwear, and jeans and not worry about it and just go less often. But if you only have to go once a month instead of twice a month, then you're in good shape. But hiring someone to come clean, for example, I think is a great example. A lot of people do this. And most people don't talk about it because I think they're a little ashamed to admit that they hire someone to come and tidy the place up. And like, that's another one that I probably wouldn't do because, okay, one of my favorite things to do in life is just listen to a podcast I enjoy. In addition to making a podcast, I like to listening to them. I'm not just a spokesperson. I'm a customer. How does that go? Is that Men's Warehouse or something? Or is that some kind of balding cure? I can't even remember. Great Clips? Not just an owner, but a customer. Something like that. It's much slicker than that, but also stupid. Anyway. So I don't mind. And also, if you keep your place pretty tidy, cleaning it up only takes like a half hour to 45 minutes. And if you stay on top of it, it's easy. So cleaning lady's not for me, but let's say I had a ton of extra money and I was like, you know, I own a place or I'm paying a mortgage now. I'm busy. There's a lot of other things I'd rather be doing with my time. I could see hiring someone to clean up, especially because, hey man, how much does it cost? Because that's another thing I think is as you get older or get further in your career or whatever, you start to look at things of like, okay, well, here's what an hour of my time is worth. Here's what it takes for an hour of my time. Like, I think about this when I pick someone up from the airport, and like, if it's inconvenient for me, so then I have to go, let's call it 2.5 hours, and the shuttle from the airport costs like $40. And so I'm like, is my time worth, like, let's call it $20 an hour? Probably. It's probably darn close. And then you look at, like, having a maid come, and maybe they come, like, every other week for 2 hours or an hour or something, and I don't know how much you're paying them, but if you're like, well, this saves me from cleaning, and it costs this much, it's worth it to me, that's cool. So anyway, I'm a big fan of, if you've got the means, why not buy some of your time back? Why not use your means to get out of doing the things you hate the most. And of course, this, I think, probably results in people living these weird, luxurious lives where they're completely out of touch because they don't do fucking anything anymore. Because you're like, well, I have my groceries delivered to my house. I have someone clean my house for me. I've not done laundry since I can remember. I don't do this. I basically do nothing for myself anymore. And so I think that's a bad situation, but that's not really what I'm talking about, because why spend a bunch of time talking about people who are that loaded? And why should I be even thinking about that? I mean, what is Jeff Bezos's time worth? I don't even fucking know, but it's way more than $20 an hour. Like, for Jeff Bezos to pick someone up at the airport is crazy, right? That's the most expensive Uber of all time. For him to, like, if he was like, I've been thinking about driving Lyft on the weekend, people would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why would you do that? A, you've got so much already, and B, like, aren't there 100,000 other things you could be doing with your time that are better than that? It's a little bit how I think Elon Musk, you know, and he made that fucking flamethrower and does kind of these pointless things sometimes. But I sort of think that's like, I prefer that. I prefer that than like whoever the CEO of Apple is just sort of being like, well, let's try and just make a lot of money. And they don't really seem to give a shit about anything. And that's why a fucking iPhone costs like $800. Because they're like, how are we going to make money? Well, what if we just charge a fuck ton for these phones and shit? By the way, I don't know how many people who listen to this know that Pete is still rocking iPhone 4, baby. And I think I got it maybe when the 5 or the 6, probably the 6 just came out. Maybe the 5. So it's not the 4S. It's not the 5. It's not anything after that. I mean, I am officially closer to the beginning of iPhone history than the current. Like, if you drew a line halfway between where it started and where it is now, I am far closer to the beginning. I'm in, like, the first third of iPhone history still. But it still works. And, like, you know what works on it still? Messages, talking, and email still works on it just fine. Instagram sort of works. I can't watch video that other people post. So if you post video, I can't see it. I also can't post like multiple pictures. So the way Instagram used to be is you took a picture and that was it. And then it goes in the feed. Now you could take like 5 and sort of put them together and I could swipe through them. Well, one can, I cannot. I do not have the ability to swipe through them or do any of that stuff. I think in a few years, my phone is going to be vintage, and hopefully I can sell it to some hipster weirdo who's like, oh my god, you have these Instagram filters that don't even exist anymore. And I'll be like, fucking A, I do. I used to have Flappy Bird on it, too. I thought for a brief time, because I got Flappy Bird, and then they took it off the store and stuff. Like, the guy who made it, I think, took it off the store. And, so for a brief time, it was like you could sell your phone for an exorbitant price if it had Flappy Bird on it, because it was like, holy shit. And I thought about it, but I never did it. What can I say? Man, I got off on a real fucking tangent there. But I think that's, like, money, that's a good example of one way to think about using money, too, is buying a new iPhone. And it's sort of like, well, all right, if you're like me, I don't love Android phones. And what I don't love about them is that they seem to require more fiddling with them. Like, I had one Android phone and you had to mess around with, like, you had to, like, shut down the apps, otherwise they would drain the battery like crazy. You had to, like, really manage the power on it a lot. Like, the battery would last a good long time, but if you did something like, God forbid, open a navigation app and then not close it completely, which you couldn't do. So, like, the iPhone has this problem too, except here's how you close an app that's open in the iPhone, or at least the iPhone 4, I'm sure there's an even easier way now, but you push the button twice, and then it shows you basically all the windows, I guess I'll use that word, that you have open, and you swipe them up, and then they're all gone. Meanwhile, on the Android I had, you had to like go into the settings menu, go into the apps menu, go into the running apps menu, and then like click each one individually and click something that said like force stop or something like that, and stop every single app. And it was like you had to do this every fucking time you wanted to close everything. That's crazy. That's stupid. And like, I know some people want these features. They like want to have control over their phone and whatever, and that's totally fine. But I equate that with the same people who are like, no, no, I want to do the cleaning at my place because I know how to do it right, and I don't mind doing it. Or like people who would not want to eat out all the time because they're like, I like cooking, or I like trying to make things, I like this and that, right? And those people exist too. With phones, I'm kind of like, I don't really want to fuck with the phone. I want the phone to give me phone calls and texts and emails, and that's about it. Like, I don't want to mess around with it. Or like when I got a computer, I mean, I've had PCs my whole life until my most recent, which is a Mac, and I like the Mac. And people are like, well, you can't do this and that with the Mac. And I'm like, well, first of all, everyone's like, you can't do gaming on a Mac. And I'm like, yes, you can, 100%. But secondly, people are like, well, you can't get in and mess around. You can't, like, lift the hood up and mess around in there. But I'm like, here's the difference. Like, I don't like that new cars, you can't get in and do simple repairs yourself, like I've done on my current car. That scares me. And that part of the future I don't like, because I think it's just taking things out of the hands of normal people unnecessarily. But the difference is, when I got my Mac, like, it just works. I don't need to get into the back side of things because everything just works. And when it doesn't work, it's my fault. When it doesn't work, it's because it's like, okay, I guess I haven't updated the iOS in forever. I haven't updated this program, or I've overfilled the storage and need to reduce some of the storage. That's it. I mean, that's what happens. And you can tell, too, it's like, okay, mine's older, it has a harder time running the newer stuff than, like, Poonmaster Flex has a slightly newer one, and it's faster. And it's like, all right, but I don't really need to get in there and mess around, and therefore the inability to do it doesn't bother me. If I could get in a brand new Prius, and I wasn't going to have to do anything to it for, like, 5 to 10 years... I mean, I've had my Mac for at least 5 years, and it's been problem-free. And if that was the same thing, like, I don't have to fucking change the oil on this car for 5 years? You don't have to change the tires? You don't have to do this? You don't have to do that for 5 years? Okay. Well, then, yeah, I wouldn't give a flying fuck about not being able to get under the hood and do whatever. I don't know. You get, like, a Tesla, and that doesn't really have, like, an engine in it like a normal car would, and I'm sure there's nothing I could do. If that stopped working or was not working properly, I'm sure I would have to take it to somewhere very special for a very costly fix. But if it just worked, I would be like, eh, fuck it, who cares? Anyway, all of this to say that, so I think I'm going to end up paying some people to move my shit. There's an additional problem to moving for me that wouldn't exist if I move, well, when I move again. I'll probably move at least one more time. But, which is that I live in a shitty neighborhood, and people go through the dumpsters and stuff all the time. So I don't know if it's a good idea to have a moving van outside that I'm loading up, and then I go back inside to get more shit, and it's just unattended, right? So then, and then there are a couple pieces I need help with. I mean, I've moved them all before myself, but I don't want to do that anymore. And, like, moving a queen mattress by yourself sucks. Like, anyone who's done it will tell you, like, this fucking sucks. Assembling and reassembling your bed frame fucking sucks. Doing all that shit sucks. So if I cannot do that, that would be my strong preference. And so what I'm hoping to do is have other people do that. Oh, but so I have someone sitting out with the truck. Just basically, I'm sure someone sitting there, that would deter anything. But then also, I would need another person to actually help me carry the stuff. So it's like, all right, well, you'd need a minimum of three people. Preferably, you'd have more than that. And I just feel bad. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to take up someone's time doing that. Like, one of my friends, I like my friends. I don't want to make them do stupid shit like move with me. Because that's boring. But I don't know. It's weird. Like, I don't really mind helping other people move. But I also... I'm not going to overly toot my own horn, but it's like I stay in shape. I think I'm a fairly strong guy for my size. And like that's part of why is because like I want to be able to help people with stuff like that. So there you go. So Pete's big move. But I'm very much going to miss my place. I like my place a lot. Studio life has been very good to me. I think it's just, like, the simplicity of it. And the, like, it helps you think about, you're like, well, what do I need? And it helps you think about that because really you can't afford space-wise to have a lot more than what you need. If you have a lot more than what you need, everything gets all fucked up. But if you just sort of have what you need, then everything is great. And so sometimes you think, like, okay, so we're moving now, and I'm like, well, I'm going to have to get a desk, because where am I going to put all my fucking radio shit? And right now I have a built-in desk and shelves and stuff, so I'm like, all right, cool. So that's something else I'll probably need. We'll probably need a little more furniture, because now we have, like, a living room that's not in the bedroom. There's just a bunch of stuff that you end up needing, and your life just gets more and more complex, I suppose. But on the other hand, it's like we'll be combining two people together into one space. So I don't know. I don't know how that works out complexity wise. But I liked it. There's really something to be said for the studio apartment and the simplicity. And also the building is fucking amazing because it's all like brick and concrete. So it's pretty quiet in there. I'll say this about studio apartment life too. Relatively quiet. Compared to other places I lived, it's quiet. And I think this has a lot to do with, like, hey, who's going to have a party in the studio apartment? I've had a couple parties that started in a studio apartment, but it doesn't work long term. I would not want to have an entire party in a studio apartment. That's for damn sure. So it's nice. I was worried moving in there because it's very close to the college, and I was like, oh god, it's going to be a bunch of students and stuff, but it's like, it's ideal too. I'll give this advice, even though nobody listening to this is probably in the position, but this would be like a perfect situation. If I was sending my kid to college and paying for their place, this would be the perfect setup, in my opinion, because I'd be like, I know exactly how much it costs every month, and there's no like... there's no hidden cost. There's no like, oh, utilities going up and down, whatever. There's nothing. Secondly, you're not going to be paying for the party house, right? Like you're not going to be paying for, oh, well, here's the flop house or all my loser kids, loser friends. I'm saying this about me, by the way, because I assume my kid would be a loser kid with loser friends, but maybe it'd be different for you. Maybe your life would be different than mine. It's just very simple, and I think that's a good thing. So yeah, and like the, what do I want to say to you? I wanted to say a little something about, our long distance relationship coming to an end. And so after doing it for about a year, what my thoughts on it are. I'll say a couple things. It's a fucking pretty good test of whether or not your relationship is any good. I think if you can do a long distance thing for like a year and it's still kind of working and you're still happy to see each other and you're still not totally fried on spending an hour a day on the phone, that's a good sign. That is a very good sign for the relationship. In some ways, like, I think it's good to have time apart. Like, I think most couples probably need a little more time apart than they give each other in themselves. Because I think, like, you'll hear a lot from people who it's like their spouse will go on a trip for 2 or 3 days or just go away for the weekend. Or they'll take a sick day and be home alone. And it's like fucking amazing. They're like, oh my God, I didn't have my partner here. I didn't have any kids. It was crazy. And I'm sort of like, you know, you guys could just do that, right? Like maybe a couple times a year, you could just be like, you know what? I'm going to go stay in the next town over for the weekend, give you some space, and you can do that another time too, and fucking whatever. You go visit your parents. We'll have some time apart. I think time apart is a good thing. Not long distance relationship most of the time apart probably isn't. I'm not going to advocate for that level. That's expert level. But I think the general idea of like, you should be asking yourself and your partner like, hey, are we spending enough time, too much time, or the right amount of time together? Or like, you should just take a little time to be like, all right, let's see what happens if we don't spend the weekend together. I think one of the weird things about being in a relationship too is when you're together and then you take a vacation, but when you're on vacation with someone, you're usually in closer quarters and like more on top of each other life-wise than you would be normally. And so I think sometimes that can wear people down a little bit. I think that can be a little bit of like, I'm taking a vacation, but I'm a little stressed out because it's like, okay, so from the moment we left for this vacation until the moment we got back from this vacation, it's like we sat next to each other on the plane. We hung out in the airport together. We got to this new place. We are staying in a hotel room that's doesn't really give either of us any privacy or space. We did blah, 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 blah. You get the idea. It's a good idea when you're on vacation to take some time for yourself. This is part of, I think, what attracted me to running initially is like, running is an activity you can do that no one wants to do with you. And no one's going to really like get mad at you for, because you're like, well, I think I'm going to get up tomorrow and go for a little jog. Everyone's like, cool, have fun. No one's going to be like, what the fuck? You don't want to spend time with me? They're going to be like, no, that's fine. I think it's good to do this on a vacation. Just take a little solo time. And in life in general, when we were living apart together across the hall, what we would do is like we had a weekly date night and we had a weekly solo night. And solo night was a night where we usually saw each other. Like here's the thing. Wednesday night was solo night. And the reason that was solo night is because I didn't work until noon the next day, which meant I could sleep until 11 if I chose, or get up and do stuff or whatever. So if we didn't stay together that night, that meant I could sleep and I could sleep in and I wouldn't get interrupted in sleeping by Poon Master Flex getting up and getting ready for work and all that shit, right? And this was pretty much weekly. There were some weeks we didn't do solo night or some weeks we switched it around, but basically it was a convenient night to have a solo night. And it was great. Because I think it just gives you a little bit of time to yourself. It gives you a little bit of time to just be like, what do I want to do? Like, what am I going to do? If I want to stay up till 2 a.m., I don't have to feel bad about keeping someone else up. If I want to go to bed at 8:30, I could do that. I mean, you can kind of do whatever you want. So I think solo time is really good. And so this is the thing I've learned from long distance relationship is like, I think it's solo time to the extreme, and I still think solo time is good. So I guess that's something. That means something. I don't know what. I'm not gonna figure it all fucking out for you. Some of it you gotta figure out yourself, assholes. I'll say this too. I think that, like, most people, when you talk to them about being in a long-distance relationship, will say something like, I would never do that. Nope, I would never do that. No, I would never do that. And the thing is, like, I think we all think that, but we're just thinking about it in the abstract and not thinking about, well, would you be in a long-distance relationship if your relationship was with someone you really, really loved? Because then I think most of us would say yes. And I don't think we consider the reasons that a relationship is long distance. For example, when I was looking more at getting an MFA, more seriously, one of the programs I would apply to is Iowa. Because it's fully paid and it's probably one of the best in the country. But it's in Iowa. And there's like not much going on there. And Poon Master Flex was kind of like, hey, if you get that, that's great. I don't want to go to Iowa with you. I would rather do long distance thing while you do that because I am not interested in going to Iowa. One of the other ones is in Wyoming. And she's like, I am not interested in living in Wyoming, which I'm like, eh, that's pretty fair. I could see where you're coming from with that. And so I think there's like stuff like that too, though, where it's sort of like, well, if one person is sort of trying to like achieve something, especially something temporary, I don't know, I can see it. I get it. And, you know, it's both of us have goals. Both of us want our lives to look a certain way. And sometimes the ways we want our lives to work don't go together. And that's cool. And I know most people are probably like, I would just break up with somebody. But I think it's also a little bit weird because it's like, can't you see in your heart to like, don't you want the people that you care about to achieve what they want to achieve too? And like, I'm not saying you gotta go. I'm not saying she's gotta go with me to Iowa. That's asking too much. But what I am saying is like, I don't know how I feel about, well, I know how I feel about what I feel like is someone trying to control me that way. By basically, because if I got into Iowa, I'd be like, look, this is like the MFA program. Like, once I finish this program, I can probably teach just about anywhere. Because they'll be like, Iowa, huh? I can probably get a book published a lot more easily. This could be a huge thing for me. And this is really what I want my life to look like. And I'm willing to sacrifice some of what I want for that. Anyway. Point being, most people, I think, are like, I would never do that. And most people are probably wrong. Oh, hang on. The airplane is parked. I may have to let y'all go soon. I'm almost to the airport. She might beat me. Depends how long it takes her to get through the damn airport, but probably won't take long. It's kind of unfortunate because I sort of have to take a piss. But not desperately. I've greatly reduced my coffee consumption in this last year. I was down to like one tiny cup a day. Now I'm down to like two cups in the morning. And then I stop after that almost all the time. And I notice I have to pee a lot less often and a lot less desperately. It just, the urge is not there. When you drink beer and you drink coffee, man, do you have to pee. If you have one of those Saturdays where you're like, I probably had 4 or 5 cups of coffee today and then I went out drinking that night, it's just like, you have to pee so much and so desperately. It's crazy. Anyway, I guess something else I wanted to say about the long-distance relationship is, like, I don't think you should be afraid of it. That's the message I would send to anybody is, like, don't be afraid of the long-distance relationship. Because I think that, like, it'll work out one way or another. And, I don't know. I guess I sort of feel, maybe this is totally incorrect, but I sort of feel like, hey, if if you go a year and a half long distance and then it's like not working and you break up, so be it. Or if, you know, I've known people who've been in a proposed long distance relationship and it stopped almost immediately. And I kind of think if that happens, it's like, well, maybe the long distance nature of this relationship kind of sped up the natural life cycle of the relationship. Maybe that's what this needed to be. So I'll say too, some of the things that I'm very glad that, some of the things I won't miss, let's put it that way. I'm not a big phone guy. I don't love talking on the phone. And it's fine. It's good. It's like good with Poon Master Flex, and that's how we're connecting right now. And it's good. Like, that's a good thing. And I'm very glad that we have things like the phone and FaceTime and shit like that. It's not a great substitute for like talking to someone in person. And I'll say some of the limits of the technology, and it could be me, like, I don't know if my hearing is super great. It might not be, but I know sometimes she's not thinking about how she's talking into the phone. Like if it's cradled or she's in certain parts of her house, it doesn't work very well. But, you know, it's very frustrating when you're talking to someone and you can't hear them and you ask them what like three times and then they're like, never mind. Because when the phone isn't working, when the technology's not working, everybody is frustrated. And you get frustrated at each other even though you're really just frustrated at the phones. So it's kind of that's a tough thing. You got to remind yourself like, hey, okay, they don't want this to be like this either. It's frustrating for both of us. Let's just get beyond it. You can always I think it's a good idea when that's happening, by the way, to say like, I'm not hearing you very well. I'm going to hang up and call you right back. Sometimes I think that magically fixes it. Sometimes I think that reminds us, it gives us a second to both be like, okay, I'm not mad at this person. I'm mad at the phone. And like, nobody's trying to make this unpleasant for anybody. Circumstances. All right, let's call back. But I like that it worked for us. I think that says a lot in my mind. That it was like, we've been apart for over a year now, and we still talk probably an hour a day. And it's getting to be a little bit much in terms of time, just because it's like, if I'm going to devote an hour of time, most of us probably don't devote an hour of concentrated time to a partner every day. And that's every weekday. Weekends, it would probably be longer. And I know we think we do, but it's like, okay, are you devoting an hour of your time to your partner? Or is it an hour of time maybe in 10, 15 minute snatches? Or like an hour of time, but you're both doing something else together? One of the things that's the hardest is doing things together. We tried doing things like watching a movie together while we're FaceTiming or something. And there are a lot of issues with the sound. And like both people's sound interrupting the others, and like the other person's is a couple seconds ahead. It's a technological nightmare that we somewhat figured out. But the other thing is streaming something and FaceTiming with someone takes a ton of bandwidth. So almost any setup you have, somebody ends up kind of miserable. I mean, okay, I'll give you an example. When we first did this, we basically were just like, all right, we're going to just watch this movie and FaceTime at the same time and see what happens. So we're both like on Netflix. We're watching, I think we were watching The Santa Claus or something like that, because it was just Christmas time and it was like, eh, fuck it. Like, I don't even care. So we're watching it and it was like mine was just cutting in and out and pausing and freezing like crazy. The other thing is FaceTime, when you're FaceTiming with somebody, my computer automatically lowers the audio on whatever you're watching like drastically to the point where you can't even hear it. Which was a problem I solved by plugging a headphone in. And the other thing is, okay, when you don't have either person using headphones or anything else, I'm hearing the audio from her computer And so unless you're like dead on, it's super annoying because you're basically like watching it in a tunnel and everything's echoing. It's terrible. All right. So then I figured out like, okay, I'll put in a headphone and then I can watch something with you. Right. Oh, and also I was like, okay, I'm going to get a movie that I have. I'll get the DVD from the library of whatever we're watching. You can watch it streaming or not. That's your prerogative. And I'll start that at the same time. Then I'm not using my bandwidth, and that'll help. So I did that. But the problem with that is, so then you have an earphone in, but like, if Poon Master Flex gets exuberant and starts talking loudly, it like blows out your ear big time. So like figuring out the balance, and I can't adjust the volume of FaceTime alone. FaceTime runs through the computer on the volume that is used for just the computer itself. And so I guess we could have tried Skype. We probably should have done that, but whatever. Point being, it's fucking really complicated and took all the technical skills to do something as simple as watching a movie together. And so when I say like you probably don't spend 10 minutes or you probably don't spend an hour with your partner, probably most of you do, but probably while you're both engaged in something or doing something together. Like when you're eating on the phone together, it's not the same. Even talking on the phone is harder than in person because like in person, you've got these visual cues, you've got body language, and like on the phone, it's much easier to interrupt each other all the time or like talk at the same time. I'm the worst about this. For some reason, my cadence or something is like, I'll just start talking all the time when Poon Master Flex starts talking. Or like maybe it's a phone thing and so she hears me start talking at the same time I hear her start talking, so we've talked over each other. And it's fucking crazy and really annoying. So anyway, that's not as good. This is the thing. And this is like, I have this whole sort of theory about this, like, and this applies to a lot of technology, but especially like phones, video chat, Facebook, all this stuff. We've tried to use technology to replace some of our in-person stuff. For example, Facebook is, you know, at this point, trying to replace some of our in-person interaction. Instagram is like a way to say like, okay, so in the 70s or something, you would take a bunch of pictures on your vacation, get them developed, and then have friends over to come look at them. Based on every sitcom I saw, what you would do is get them made into slides and then show like a slideshow to everybody of your vacation. I don't know if that's fucking real or not. I have no idea. Like, I don't know if that was just a convenient sitcom thing that somebody experienced one time or if this was seriously something that everyone was doing. I don't know. I'd love to hear from someone who's been to one of these shows. I say with like a deep question mark. Anyway, but Instagram kind of is like meant to replace that, right? Like, and I can see it instantly and it's good and whatever. And FaceTime is like, well, that's kind of stands in for like being in the same room together and chatting because I can see you now and I can pick up on your body language and it's just different. But it's not the same. It's not as good. I'm not even going to go with the like, it's not just... It's different, not better or worse. It's worse. It's like the things that we've come up, the electronic technological solutions, we've come up to the problems of not being connected are not adequate. They've got a bunch of weird technologies too. I think I talked about it on here before where it's like, oh, you can buy a ring that like when you touch a thing on it, it's like you can feel your partner's heartbeat. And it's like, or you can get a, which by the way, I was like, I would be in a total panic of this. Like, what if I turned it on and she was jogging or something and I'd be like, oh my God, she's dying. Why her heart's going a million miles a second. Or, you can buy like, I don't know. There's just bullshit like that. It's just stupid shit. You can buy a lamp. I liked this one. It's like a lamp you buy and you touch it and turn it on. And like when I can touch mine and it turns hers on. So it's just kind of like a little thing of like, hey, here I am, here you are. But in some ways, I think these technologies just make you feel more alone, more lonely, and miss the person. So anyway, I think that the technological solutions are not good. And I think that the technological solutions we've come up with to replace a lot of in-person things aren't there yet. I mean, I'm sure we've all experienced some kind of a work meeting that we try to do in a virtual environment. Because it's like, oh my god, this is going to be amazing. We won't have to drive all the way to wherever and like get to physically together and do a meeting and whatever. But then it's like you spend half the time troubleshooting the technology. We use a thing at work and it's like the laptops we have, the microphones on them fucking suck. So like unless you're facing directly towards whoever's talking, you don't hear anything. There's a lot of stuff like that. And I know there's things you can do. It's like, oh, well, plug in a snowball mic and do this and do that. And it's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's all great and everything. But like, at what point do the things we do to make the technology work just outpace the simplicity and so on? And that's the thing is like, what you don't realize that you'll be missing is the simplicity of the in-person relationship. For most people, like, for me to see my girlfriend involves me driving to the airport, parking, going through airport security, getting on an airplane, going there, getting on a train, going to a place. And, like, before I can even do that, it's like, I gotta take some time off of work, gotta book a flight, gotta do this, gotta do that, right? There's a lot of extra shit you gotta do for what people who cohabitate or are in the same city. Basically, it's like a 2-minute drive to somebody else's house. Or for some people, as simple as like, I go downstairs, right? And like, that makes it pretty easy. So I think that, I just think there's a lot to be said for, the in-person relationship. Not that this is probably exciting, novel information, but I think the thing is like, you think that technology and stuff will replace the other stuff a lot better, but it won't. The other thing is, I think you can get sort of set in your ways. And this is me. I mean, I can get set in my ways. And so, like, when you live alone for an extended period, like a year, you like things a certain way. And you figure out what works for you, and that's what you keep doing. And so that's a difficult thing. But I think it can be good too. I think most of us look at that as sort of all bad, but I think there's a really positive side to it, which is like you get to know what you like and you kind of get used to like advocating for what you really want too, because what you really want, there are some things that you figure out are like your must-haves and some that don't really matter that much. And it's sometimes a stupid shit. Like, as we move back in together, I'm sort of like, I kind of want to keep my silverware, even though it doesn't match your silverware. And it's like, well, that seems like a small thing, and it is a small thing. But at the same time, it's like, I use a spoon every day, and I put it in my mouth like 15 times, just in one quote-unquote use, right? So like, yeah, it means something to me. And that's something that makes me happy. So you start to figure this stuff out. And I think that's nice. I think it's nice to sort of have that set of ideas in your head of like, what does actually matter to me? What makes me happy?
Thank you. Continue into lock.
My co-host... present ticket, please. As she's affectionately known on this show. Present ticket, please, lady. These fucking idiots. And my window rolled down, so I had to whisper that these guys are fucking idiots because they're standing in a parking spot with their bags just like wandering around. It's like, you know, if you got the fuck out of the way, someone could park there. Not usually a cars over people type of guy, but In a parking garage at the airport, I'm like, let's get moving. Let's keep it moving. All right, guys. Those are kind of rambly, lots of things going on in life show. Hope you enjoyed it. I don't know if we'll record another one in the studio. It might be the next time you hear from me is in the new spot. Or probably in the car. Who knows? But thanks for listening. If you haven't started donating to Patreon, you can do it. We got a new donor this month. I'm up to one donor who's not family. That's pretty exciting. Reasonable donation amounts. Won't break your bank. All right. See you next time.